Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 11th of January. Welcome to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day. The first one for 2022. Here we go again then for another 12 months of discussion and Viewpoint. If you want to get involved with today's show, then here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And on today's show, we won't have any studio guests today, but I will be going live on the lines to Alf Brewer in about 10 minutes or so. And also, RSS after 11 o'clock, live to London and Rex Leyland for his viewpoints on what's happening at the moment. Amongst other things we plan to discuss today, though we can, as you know, it's a movable feast. As the saying goes, we'll be talking about the latest revelations coming out of Downing Street's antics during the lockdown. 100 people invited to a bring-your-own-bottle party in Downing Street Garden whilst the nation was in lockdown. Also, the latest rumblings of Russian expansion on the Ukraine, also the situation in Kazakhstan. Are we seeing the strong men of the former Soviet Union putting their collective feet down after what happened, of course, in Belarus last year as well? Your thoughts on that? And also, looking at the story that's been major news over the past week, Djokovic in Australia. Should he play? Shouldn't he play? Should he be allowed to stay in Australia? Should he be deported? I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. What does it say for international sport, high-profile figures, and what's not? Again, if you want to get involved with today's show,
to contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Looking at the front papers, though, first of all, the emergence of an email from a Downing Street official inviting dozens of staff to drinks in the Number 10 Garden during the first lockdown to, quote, make the most of the lovely weather, makes the lead for most of the papers. The Daily Mirror says it was an invite to do what you like, while the Daily Express has the headline, enough, Boris, you must end Partygate farce now. The Daily Mail's headline is Boris rocked by new party revelations. The Eye says that Number 10 has previously tried to justify Downing Street's lockdown parties as work meetings, but this email punctures that defence. The Guardian quotes a senior Tory insider as saying the rules were not just tweaked, but snapped in half. The Times and the Daily Telegraph lead on moves to cut from 7 days to 5 days the self-isolation period for fully vaccinated people in England who test positive for COVID. The Times says Mr. Johnson has piled pressure on his scientific advisers to make the reduction after the UK Health Secretary Agency admitted it had misread guidance from the US when it opposed a change. According to the Telegraph, Health Secretary Sajid Javid is said to be frustrated by the situation and now looks all but certain that the guidance will be changed amid concerns that lengthy isolation periods are crippling key sectors. The Financial Times reports that ministers are increasingly optimistic that many of the COVID restrictions that were introduced in England in response to the Omicron variant will end on the 26th of January when they are due for review. The Times says Mr. Johnson is being urged to prioritise dropping the work-from-home guidance in an effort to boost economic growth, but The Sun warns that the low take-up rates of the booster jab could delay the lifting of restrictions. It says the jabs have plummeted from 1 million a day at Christmas to around 140,000, putting at risk an early end to the measures. There's strong criticism of the Australian government in the leader columns after Novak Djokovic won his appeal against deportation over COVID vaccination rules. The Mail describes the affair as a complete shambles. Shouldn't the authorities have decided whether they wanted him in their country before he arrived, it asks. The Mirror says the authorities have turned him into a poster boy for all sorts of COVID cranks. For The Telegraph, the episode has cast an unflattering light on Australia's COVID policy. Finally, The Sun reports that restaurants and cafes are facing a ban on giving out sachets of sauce and will have to find eco-friendly alternatives. It says single-use plastic packets for red and brown sauces, mayo, salad cream and vinegar are to be outlawed. It quotes an ally of Environment Secretary George Eustace as saying there is no reason why most restaurants can't use big bottles. Looking at the front page of El País in English, voting intention poll shows Spain's socialists in the lead despite gains for the right. The ultra-nationalist Vox would win additional seats if elections were held today, although respondents showed unsupported support for the left's handling of the economy. And also, with cases on the rise, Spain adapts influenza surveillance system to COVID-19. Monitoring will no longer rely on exhaustive infection counts on all but a sentinel network of experts. Back to those front pages to see exactly what they are saying today. Kicking off with the Mirror today's top of my pile. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Something just popped up. Daily Mirror, number 10 party email bombshell. Invite to do what you like. 100 staff to bring your own drinks during first lockdown, and the Prime Minister attended. The Guardian, fury as email reveals number 10, bring your own booze lockdown party. And also Djokovic grateful after visa appeal win. There's also a picture of Djokovic. He tweeted a picture yesterday of himself in training with his team at the Australian Open. Boris rocked by new party revelations. Email proves key aide invited 100 Downing Street to party staff to party with PM while public could only meet one person in doors. That's the Daily Mail. The Metro, Downing It Street, email invite to number 10 lockdown drinks parties revealed. The Daily Express, leaked email reveals how senior aide invited 100 Downing Street staff to party to make the most of the lovely weather during the UK lockdown. Enough, Boris, it says. You must end Partygate fast now. Bring your own booze. That's the I. And had a picture of Boris Johnson and his wife. The Times picture of Djokovic that she tweeted yesterday, and number 10 celebrated lovely weather with lockdown drinks party. Daily Telegraph, again, that picture of Djokovic with from court to court as Djokovic wins a reprieve, and cabinet anger over misleading isolation guidance. That is the The Daily Telegraph says health bosses were accused of misleading ministers in an attempt to justify COVID rules. The UK Health Secretary Agency said England's isolation rules were effectively in line with other nations, including the US, before admitting its mistake. The Telegraph said it is now expected that the isolation period will be cut to 5 days in order to cut major staffing crises. The Sun. Don't be a Novak, get busted. It's their front page. PM's pleas to end crisis. And finally, the Daily Star leads on news that catching a common cold may offer some immunity against COVID. Bless you is the paper's headline. Boffins say common cold helps beat COVID. And those are your headlines today. Good morning. Good morning, says good morning to D. Morning from a grey London. Mask watch picks at King's Cross on 5 minutes ago on the Victoria and Hammersmith line. I can see one punter without a mask. Happy New Year for 2022. Thanks for that. Pictures from inside a carriage in London. And good morning and Happy New Year. Happy New Year to to Richard, who says that salad cream should be outlawed. That's the thing about individual sachets of salad cream and mayonnaise and tomato ketchup and vinegar, etc., being outlawed because they are unenvironmentally friendly. Punter, is that a euphemism? No, I'm not quite sure, but there you go. If you want to get involved with today's shows, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And those are the ways to get in contact with us.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Live as always, TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain.
What is the remix?
There's a lot of people that are really, really successful who are not very good, and they have been my inspiration in life.
Another chance to hit interviews you might have missed.
First of all, communication and meeting people and entrepreneurial skills. So those two skills, that's what I got from working a fruit market. How bizarre.
Tune in on Saturdays from 1 and Sundays from 2 p.m.
The Remix on Talk Radio Europe.
I don't know if I would have been able to survive Selena, the stuff she's been through. She has an absolute core of steel to be able to have done what she's done, and I think we see that from a very, very young age.
On The Book Show, you'll hear about different stories, characters, and genres.
Somebody said a long time ago why Nordic noir was so incredibly popular was because blood is very visible on snow.
You'll also hear about the people who create those stories.
I never wanted to do anything outside of this box that I put myself in. It wasn't until I had my first grandson. I would not be able to help him and other kids if I didn't help myself first.
Join me, Hannah Murray, for The Book Show, Mondays at 7 p.m, repeated on Saturdays at 8 p.m.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And we're back in the room, as the saying goes. Delighted to welcome on to the show regular Viewpoint guest, Alf Burrow. Good morning to you, Alf.
Good morning, Giles, and best of New Year's to everyone at TRE and the world.
Everyone,
especially our listeners.
Especially our listeners, exactly. I think you covered about 8 billion people there, Alf, so there you go. Hopefully most of them.
And I think this might be a record. I think I was the last, I'm on the last show of the old year,
yep,
and the first show of the new year, 4 years on the run.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, well, I hadn't put that in my diary, but I will bow to your superior knowledge, Alf.
Yeah, just so, in case you decide to change it.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, why quit while I'm ahead?
And there's a message for the new year, isn't there?
And that is,
I hope that everyone has been doing their star jumps.
Yes.
And cuddling up to the cats.
Well,
I'm not sure that the ferals will like it, but cuddle your cat.
Cuddle your cat. This is quite incredible blog post that's gone out by one of the energy providers, isn't it? Saying, you know, okay,
it's the biggest. It's the second biggest energy supplier outside of what used to be British Gas. OVO. What a strange name, OVO. OVO the top.
Yeah, OVO, it's very good indeed. But, I mean, I remember back in the day, it's probably the late 70s, early 80s, and there was a thing about saying, you know, to keep fuel bills down, you should live in one room and wrap up warm and run around the house. And I remember that getting shot down in flames. But this is quite incredible with this
cost. But then we had the water shortage as well, remember, where you had to shower with somebody or have a bath with somebody. Use your dirty water twice.
Yes, well, let's not even go there. But,
but these companies come up with these brainwaves. They employ people who they pay hundreds of thousands of pounds a year, and they come up with this rubbish.
Yeah, exactly. You think somebody might have checked this with I don't know, somebody in who runs their media before they put
standards
stuff on.
Standards of life.
Standards of life.
Now, Standards Institute. Check it out, mate.
Yeah. Now, looking at... Richard's come in. Message for the new year from Alf. Vote Labour. Yeah, OK, fair enough.
Well, we can come on to that if you want.
Well, we can. Well, let's kick off there, because I mean there are two huge stories making the news at the moment, and it seems to be, I mean, looking at the front pages this morning of the papers back in the UK, I mean, it's all Downing Street, basically. It is all anger, pressure mounting, bring your own booze and enjoy the lovely weather. We were in lockdown. The UK was in lockdown at this point. It really is. It really does beg a belief, doesn't it, that this sort of thing could come out. Do you think this is once again, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better for Downing Street. And I know I've been accused of having, and I was accused by somebody as having an anti-Tory bias, and I'm not anti-Tory. I'm not anti, but this particular set of government ministers and leading from the top seems to be stumbling from one crisis into the other, and it's all of their own making.
But to be anti-Tory would be a political statement, and what's happening now is that people are becoming anti-Tory because they don't like all of this stuff that's coming out. I mean, we can all get indignant about, you know, they had these parties, etc., etc. But it's cool, what are they doing about it? And effectively what they're doing is they're coming up with the next... So they've got to have a pause in this one. They've got to come up with the next, well, this is why this happened, because... As everybody said, up to now, they've got away with it by saying, oh, well, these were just work meetings that we just happened to hold, you know, and we were spaced out and that, even though the pictures prove otherwise.
Spaced out meaning we had a distance, by the way, just not we had too much blue nun or something.
but this one, they've lost that excuse. So everybody's waiting with bated breath, not because they don't believe that this has happened, but they want to know, so what's the excuse this time? You invite 100 people to come to a garden party. Evidently, 40 people turn up. I don't suppose they were, you know, socially distanced, because how do you have a social conversation 2 metres apart? In fact, if they were all 2 metres apart, it would have filled the garden. You know, the number 10's garden is big, but it ain't that big. Not for having all that. So.
Yeah.
It's called everybody's waiting with bated breath, not to say, well, did this happen or didn't it happen? Or who's to blame and who's not? Nobody's interested in that. They just want to find out. So what's the next lame excuse that number 10 are going to come up with? And there will be a fault person. It'll either be, what's her name, Sue Gray, the civil servant, or the guy that sent the... thing out. But everybody knows that would never have been sent out unless Johnson's office, I'm not even saying Boris Johnson, but his office, the number 10 office, you know, they must have known and they must have instructed. They must have dealt with it. So they should hold the responsibility. Not some civil servant who, to be honest, you know, you're a civil servant and your minister comes to you and says, I want this done. You have a choice. You either don't do it and you get out of the way, and hope that you don't lose your job, or you do it in the hope that, you know, you ain't going to lose your job. So some fair pressure that they put on the civil servants. I know the civil servants can always say no, but it's very difficult when, you know, you're holding down an important job that you really like doing, and they're not jobs. You know, let's get this into perspective. I was never a union official because it was a job. It was a vocation. It is a vocation. And most of those senior civil servants, it's a vote. They passionately believe in what they're doing for the country. And yet they can be ridiculed by some clowns who say, oh, well, it's the civil servants who did this. And it's not true.
952-784-1000. This has just come in, and it says the following. I wonder how the 100 people who received the email reconciled their silence with public service. I don't think you can talk about conspiracy exactly, but the reliability of the tacit understanding that politicians and, sad to say, civil servants will put self-interest before public interest is responsible for so much as what is wrong in England. Imagine how much better a country...
No. See, these people, the people that have been invited, are number 10 staff. So they're not civil servants. They work for the government in office. So they're separately employed, so they're not part of the civil service. They're not run by the civil service. They're run by Number 10 and the managerial hierarchy inside Number 10. Other than that, you know, all the past spads and all that would have operated under some civil servant, and they didn't. They were independent, and they are independent from the civil service. So you cannot keep saying this. These are not civil servants. These are people who are employed by Number 10 to do a job for Number 10 and for the Tory party.
I mean,
and Sarah, that's it, top and bottom.
Sarah Churchill has just tweeted, the small minority who break the rules, which was a thing that was being bandied about. Yeah. She said, or as my husband described them, the 100 bags who went to this party and never said anything.
Well, why would they? You know, it's like saying, why doesn't somebody in the Tory party, in Tory party central office, why don't they tell on some of the things that have been going on inside the Tory party? Because they're the Tory party, they're not civil servants, and they may be, you know, people who should know better. In fact, the one of the commentaries were, there was one of the email replies was, do you think this is a good idea? And so there are people with a conscience, but again, you're dealing with, this is like a small, well, they're not, they're a medium-sized company, and they have their hierarchy, and it's not just, you know, the boss says something and everybody gets an email. It doesn't work like that. Each department will have a head of department, and they will put pressure on their little teams, you know, in order to do or not do. So you cannot, you know, relate this to the civil service or anything. This is a small company who operate as a company who are very tight. So, you know, they're not reneging on, you know, the people in the world. And what's come from this, you know, in the main, we all knew that something like this, whether it was parties or whether it was more rubbish coming out of the government, you know, Cummings was never going to be quiet. You know, he's poked his nose into this and he's issued some stuff. You know, it's you know, when you upset somebody, remember they're going to come back. I was always taught, you, if you slap somebody's wrist, just remember that you're bearing your wrist in front of them. So if you slap somebody, they'll slap back. And that's exactly what Cummings has done, and that's exactly what some of the other people are doing. And what was it? One of the photographs that was taken of one of these garden parties was, I'm not saying it is him, but it's alleged it's from Rishi Sunak's office. And you go, you know, this is always going to happen in politics. What is the stupidity is that Johnson has never learned, right from when he was an MP, before he became London's leader, he was doing and saying and making these sort of things at the time. And he's always done it. He's blasé about it. And to be honest, you know, I keep on saying it, the British public, at its best, keep electing this clown.
This is
I say clown, not in the sense that he's stupid, because he's an intelligent bloke, but he does things to provoke a response. But also, it keeps most of their rubbish out of the political limelight, so out of the political floodlights. So things like the number of... He made a statement about the number... Oh, we've got more nurses and we've got more doctors now than we had before. And it's not true. It's not a true statement. Talk to the medical professional people and they will tell you why it's not true. But the British public only want to hear what the British public want to hear. And I still know people in the UK who are saying, oh, Johnson's doing a really good job. There you go. Really? Where have you been for the last 2 years?
The other thing was on Prime Minister's questions the other day. He said, I am furious about this. I mean, he's coming up with indignity.
This is Panto season, isn't it? And he points across the dispatch box and he says to Starmer, look behind you. You know, this is joke stuff. He will come up with this because it deflects. And that's what he's been professionally good at, deflecting anything coming at him. He'll deflect it off to the side, over the top, underneath, round the back. You know, it's not my fault, it's their fault. Oh, I didn't know this was happening. You know, this latest one, if it is true, you know, he was at this thing with 40 people, him and his wife were there, and he will say, oh, I didn't know it was happening, we just went for a walk in the garden. And he will get away with it. people will believe him. I don't know why.
Looking, just came in from Gene. It's a combination of entitlement, superiority, and greed. They all knew what they were doing, but if they all go, there is no longer a functioning government. Surely it is time for a general election. Thank you, Tommy, for your thoughts on ALF. Thank you. Always good to hear from you. But this is Viewpoint, so all viewpoints are available.
I'm used to it.
But ALF, you forget that gaslighting is the Tories' specialist subject because they believe they have an 80-seat majority and believe they can do what they want. It goes like this. There were gatherings, but not parties. There were parties, but not organised. They were organised, but the PM didn't know. The PM knew, but didn't attend. The PM did attend, but didn't collect. Anyway, let's not even go there from the last one. And also, he's saying it's because the election aren't very smart. After all, they voted for Brexit. He's also sent me, this Richard sent me in the Conservative, Boris Johnson, Prime Minister for 2022 Conservative Conference. Yes, 8 to 11, no, 11 to 10. That's just coming in. I got this in as well. This was put in saying, this is from Jenny, who put this on Twitter yesterday, saying, and this is a serious thing to this as well, obviously, because she said, on 20th of May 2020, my baby brother was in ICU. He died on the 23rd of May. We couldn't sit with him until they switched off his life support. My dad and I watched him take his last breaths over FaceTime. The words I want to use right now would get me kicked off Twitter. This is the serious thing. People were dying. People were obeying the rules. They were taking the guidance. They were, quote unquote, following the science. And it looks like the government was absolutely having a laugh with them. This is another one as well who said, who hasn't been? This is because, remember, Boris Johnson, as Donald Trump did, said that he had the virus and was, thanked the medical professionals for saving his life. Medical professionals, one of whom left soon afterwards. Who hasn't been in intensive care at death's door 1 month with a highly contagious virus, then invited 100 people to an illegal party the next? The reason the party being illegal was to stop the transmission of the virus that supposedly nearly killed you. He didn't have it.
No, he probably did have it, but I mean, at the time that this happened, but again, it's what people want to believe rather than what they are confronted with. So they're confronted with a prime minister who's struggling with his breathing, who is put into hospital, and he wasn't rushed. He was sent to hospital. He turns up at a hospital, and he's got special care. Now, which person in the whole of the United Kingdom thinks it's the United Kingdom's Prime Minister? Who wouldn't take care of him? Who wouldn't put him in hospital and have special attention paid around him? That's different to near death's door. That's different from I had my life saved. He sat in a hospital room. He wasn't on oxygen, as far as I know. He wasn't on a ventilator, but a lot of this won't come out for many years, 25 years or whatever it is until papers are issued. But so as far as it's concerned, this is another, effectively, and this is why I feel so sorry for the people who've lost people, for the people who've been drastically affected by this virus. It's just another PR stunt. Rather than saying, I was put into hospital because the people are on hand, the equipment's on hand, just in case something happened. Oh, no, I was near death. Well, he wasn't on a ventilator. He wasn't upside down. He didn't have the massages. He wasn't in a coma. He wasn't any of that, as far as I know. And quite rightly, if he was, if you listen to the people who went through that, it takes them months to get over it. I'm experiencing something I think is very, very weird. I've avoided this plague like the plague. And just before Christmas, we were looking after our grandson who is 3 years of age. He had a cold. He had to stay off of school, though, because of what's going on. We had him at home for a couple of days. The week later, when less than a week later, I think I told you before, Giles, I'm on talking to you, and the next day, I lost my voice. A couple of days later, it was just my throat was funny, and you go, well, did I have COVID? I don't know. We've never bothered all that testing rubbish because we live an isolated sort of life anyway, and spreading it is not spreading it, but So we think we got it from the three-year-old. But having said that, one of my daughters was going back to England, going to England with her husband and one of my grandsons. They had to have a test, obviously, go back. They tested positive. My daughter tested negative. They tested positive. Every one of our family can talk about different symptoms that they've had. And I said, I've still got this throat. I still get the odd headache. I never suffer from headaches, not forever. I very rarely got a cold. And yet this has been going on for 5 or 6 weeks now. And there seems to be no end to it. So when he talks in his terms, he put before everything he says, PR stunt. Because that's what it is. It's his public relations. Look at how good I am. Look at the sympathy vote. But, you know, he walks around the hospital without a mask on. The only one who was in television shot without a mask on. And then the nurses, or the sister, or whatever grade they are these days, I've lost track of that, says, put a mask on. And he looks at her and he says, why have I got to have a mask on? You know, I haven't had... It's like, put a mask on, you're going into this care unit. And it shouldn't even have to be told. But they turned that into a PR stunt that, you know, somehow or other, he was doing the right thing, walking through a hospital, even if it was the annex of an hospital, without a mask on. It's just nonsense. But I keep on saying it, he gets away with it because the British public want to believe what they believe rather than what's reality. And it's going to carry on, and it's going to carry on. And I'm not sure, you know, we go back through the same thing. If you think all these people that work at number 10 all have an entitlement and a speciality and they're all civil servants, then they're not. They're ordinary folk doing a political job in the best way possible. And I'll say it again, I was one for a while. You know, they're doing it as a vocation. They passionately believe in what they're doing. The fact that they're called to a garden party, were they flaunting the rules? I think they were more concerned about not upsetting the hierarchy inside number and whoever was saying, it'd be good if you come to a garden party, we can have a chat in the warm weather.
We're going to be back. I'm going to take a quick break now, Alf, and then back with more viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
First Viewpoint of 2022. I'm joined on the line by Al Freer. Looking at some of the emails and WhatsApps coming in, this one, Downing Street must give full list of invitees to Sue Gray. She must then interview every one of them and be given access to phones for photos and messages. Same goes to the Met Police, who surely now think there's evidence. There's no point interviewing Johnson as he will lie. Another one comes in. 100 people. Did not one of them speak out? Not a single one contacted the press to suggest this was not on. The problem is that many civil servants are averse to actual work. They turn up at 9:01 and leave at 5:01 and believe because they're unsackable because they can get away with absolute minimum, which is why public projects often rarely get done on time and budget. Also, this one, I used to say I'm definitely not a Boris fan, and sort of playing devil's avocado, thank you, with this comment, re-government transparency with Christmas parties. We should also be demanding transparency from the journalists to release their source of information. At the moment, they're just refusing. I'll just leave that there. Journalists don't normally reveal their sources. DD sends a more good morning to Alf from the Tate and Lyle factory at Silvertown a bit earlier on today, and also lovely view of a very sort of murky Silvertown, and also this in on studio@tre.radio. This is in from Ray, and good morning, Ray. The police exist because criminals don't admit to crime. The current UK government should be treated as criminals, but have sidelined the police force so as to avoid prosecution. Obviously, UK law now applies only to those outside of government and not to those in charge of law enforcement. This one in says even the Met police on duty at number 10 can't have missed 100 guests during lockdown, can they? And yes, so that is the latest. This is the same Sue Gray who was invited to various lockdown parties at Downing Street. So there seem to be quite a few points being raised here, Alf. It was also the fact that a lot of the government ministers aren't saying, well, we're not going to make a comment on this. We're only going to wait until we got an investigation. Let's just see. Morning. I've just got Cora. Morning, Cora. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate.
Morning, Kate.
I seem to remember it was 100 invitations sent out, but only 40 turned up.
Yeah, 100 invitations.
But that's an interesting. It could be that those 60 were unhappy, etc., etc.
Yeah, I mean,
anyway, there's a dissonance between the two figures.
Yeah, the fact is that whoever's in charge of sending out these invitations saying bring your own bottle, whilst the rest of the country is in lockdown. It's the fact that you could argue that they arrogantly say, oh well, it's going to be the mother of all work meetings.
Yeah, it's got a lot of touch of arrogance about it. That is the atmosphere that Johnson has built up.
And when Johnson goes on PE Promises Question Times and says that I too am furious about this, even though it would appear that he has knowledge of this, surely...
No, he's actually there.
Exactly. Kate, as always, good to hear from you. One of the first calls in on this 2020. I'm sure there'll be more coming in as well. Alf!
Right. So let's get a few things.
All right, then.
I keep on saying these people that were at this party are not civil servants. They work for Number 10. Effectively, they work for the Tory party. You just have to work it through logically. You've got a Labour government in power, and then there's a general election, and the Tories are in power. Do you think the Tory party want a pile of people working in that office who work for a different political party? So effectively, they're all made redundant, and then they have to recruit their own staff. And they get their staff, usually, from their headquarters. So a pile of people from Tory party headquarters would have moved in. So they are not civil servants. They are party workers doing a job. And the police... Why would the police be interested? These are staff going into their staff building. The police would take no notice of it. They're there to guard the door in case somebody who shouldn't be allowed in tries to get in. They're not there monitoring who's at work and who's not at work. So, don't let's blame anybody else. Don't deflect. Don't do a Johnson and deflect the blame onto somebody else. It's directly at the feet of them. And... The information, as I understand it, is that the Metropolitan Police, they're going to wait for an ministers are going to wait for an investigation that may never happen. Because remember, in Parliament, the investigation that was set up was about the Christmas parties. And to extend that, the police don't have the individual... So the police are saying they are talking to Number 10, they are talking to civil servants. There is no investigation. Now, until Parliament resits, and until Parliament, and it will happen, I have no doubt, but it's, 2-3 weeks down the line, then they'll set up an investigation. And then 6-8 months down the line, you might get something from it. So, again, don't blame the Met Police, because their hands are tied. They have no rights to do investigations into these things just at the whim of it. And remembering, in order to deflect it again, as I understand it, either all or the majority of the people who were fined for misdemeanours, all of those have been dropped or returned to them. And the effectiveness of all of this is that only the Tories can deal with the Tories. This is not a public venture. This is not a police investigation. This is not a parliamentary thing. This is the Tories sorting themselves out to change who's in there in charge. A couple of personal things. Because who was it, John, who phoned in straight away, vote Labour. And people say, about I never tell anybody to vote for a political party. I'm a Labour Party person. I would love people to vote for the party that I support. What I do say absolutely strongly, and people get really annoyed at me for saying it, vote. Just make sure you vote.
Yeah.
Because if you're not using your democratic right to have a say in who governs your country, then you have no say. End of story. So just vote. Never mind about what political party you vote for. Just vote. And a special thanks to the people from Tate and Isles at Silvertown. I used to live about, a mile and a half away from Tate and Isles.
Right.
When I was a kid, in the late 60s, when I first worked for the then GPO, shows my age, the General Post, as a telephone engineer, I had to go into Tate's and work on a switchboard with one of the engineers and a couple of, telephones that had gone out of service. And by Christ, wow, what a bunch of people. I won't tell you what the women's toilets were like.
Let's not even go there. Right, then.
But I'll tell you what, fantastic bunch of people to know. The workforce is a workforce. That's where I first learned. And remember, I was 16 and 16 and a half, something like that.
Counseling days.
A little boy sitting at the back of a switchboard with a panel off, with listening to this, I don't know, 50 telephone operators sitting in there, because Tate's, it was the worldwide switchboard.
Yep.
So it was hundreds of calls. But to talk to them and to be around, what a fantastic... Did they treat me... I was treated like the little boy that I was, and I didn't realise it.
And we still treat you like that here.
Thank you for reminiscing.
That's D passing the Tate and Lars factory. This one in. I don't think conservatives think the public is stupid. They know it. Time and again over the past 12 years, they've proven who they are, and the public hasn't believed them. Now the public are being slapped in the face with the truths. But people will still say he's doing his best.
Well, yeah, he is with COVID. They're always going to say that, but... Again, we do belittle people. The electorate aren't stupid. I mean, there are some people who have party loyalties that it doesn't matter what they do, they will still vote for them. There's a group in the middle, as we say, the middle voters, the flexible voters, the floating voters, who generally make up, which direction a government's going, i.e. is it Tory, is it Labour, is it a combination, is it whatever. But they think about what they're doing. People who go and vote just don't walk into a polling station unwittingly and put an X in any old box. They're not that stupid. The difficulty is how do you make people be more aware of what they're being told is not true?
And we got a caller on the line. Morning, caller, you're live on Thierry. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Felix, sir.
Morning, Felix.
Hi. Morning to you. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. And you too.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is not... I'm absolutely certain about this. This is not the biggest issue. It's not even a big issue. And the biggest issue, of course, is what I keep repeating, probably turning people off a bit. But the biggest issue is global warming. And the biggest event in the three weeks that we haven't been talking is the film on Netflix that came out, Don't Look Up.
Right.
Which is a film about basically a comet approaching Earth within 6 months on direct aim. And it's really a metaphor for global warming. And global warming is the biggest issue that we're facing. It's an issue that we've got to face up to. We've got to somehow face up to this. And now Alf has talked now for a good 50 minutes and talked about this issue, which I think is not a big issue, not that important in the broad scheme of things. I've never heard him bringing up once in all the time I'm listening to global warming,
right?
Except in response to a question, but never on his own. Never, ever, ever has he brought this up on his own. And this to me is the biggest issue that we face. I know people might think I'm preaching. I don't care. Bye.
Thank you, Felix. Good to hear from you as well. We're covering a broad subject, obviously. Yes, of course you can, Alf.
Because it's not that I don't care about global warming, but I think I'm a reflection of what most people probably on the planet are thinking. And that's called... People are thinking, but how can we affect it? How can we make changes? How can we deal with this? It's a huge issue. We can't get to the bottom of it, irrespective of the arguments between the different scientific positions, irrespective of the argument about which, you know, different governments are making different positions, irrespective about the use of coal, irrespective of all that, how can I, me on my own, how can I affect any change that will change the course of history? I think there is pressure, you know, public pressure that's building up to do it. So it's very difficult to be on a show. It's very difficult to even air an opinion and say, oh, I'm going to affect somebody. I talk about this amongst my family. My family, as you all know, my kids are teachers. They talk about this in schools. They never talked about this in schools when I was at school or 20 years ago even, or even 10 years ago. Now they talk about it in school. So the new generations are learning more about it, which is great. But I always come back to the same position. How, and what's the, in my humble opinion, what's the only way that you can affect the course of history? It's called go and use your vote. Vote for the people who you think will try to make change. As difficult as that is, and it's not all about, oh, go and vote for the Greens, or go and vote for, you know, somebody who's spouted off something that's just their opinion that's not based on any scientific information. But it is about, so collectively, if collectively people thought about this as an issue, and I'll come back to it again, Felix, you may be passionately interested in it, but there's a lot of people out there who just sit there and they're waiting for governments to make decisions that they agree with that will change the course of history. That will only ever happen if you elect the right people. And I know people ring in and say it's this, that and the other, but it's the bottom line. You only get change from people who are in power. You only get power, you know, from the people. That means the people have to vote.
Ray's come in saying, vote, I wish I could vote. But despite repeated Conservative promises to amend the 15-year expat restriction, still nothing has been done. Yet another lie from the Prime Minister.
No, it wasn't a lie from the Prime Minister. I will defend this to the hilt. This issue has been going on for 30 years now, about extending the 15-year rule. We're the only country in Europe that doesn't have the right to have a vote in our own country for certain issues. And it goes on and goes on. The difference is that the Tories, and I'll defend what they did, the Tories were the first party to put it into a manifesto. And it wasn't Johnson, it was David Cameron, followed by Theresa May, and every subsequent election, including the last one with Boris Johnson, they've put in there about amending the 15-year rule. The complication, as I've explained many times, is how do you create enough parliamentary time to get the legislation through? Now, it's gone further than it has ever, but some Tory peer in the House of Lords decided to throw a spanner in the works and delayed it. It just happened to be a Tory peer. I can tell you in the past where Labour have been against it, where the Lib Dems have been against it, where, you know, there's an issue in the UK parliamentary system where they say, you know, remember, I know these people intimately, and they say, but you've moved out of the country. What right have you got to vote and tell the rest of us who've stayed in the UK how we run our lives? And all I say is the difficulty, or the decent bit, is one, my whole life depends on what happens in the UK. Therefore, I should have a say in it.
Yeah, well, there's, I mean,
those who have left the country, yeah, left permanently, the chances are they will never vote anyway.
Mm. I've got a WhatsApp in here saying,
yeah, sure.
Why should you be able to vote as an expat stroke immigrant? If you cared about the UK, you wouldn't live abroad. Why should people who do not live in a country have any influence on how it is run? Et voila.
Because many Brits, I'll only talk about the Brits rather than all the rest of Europe, but for many Brits, when they move to Europe, when we were in the EU, they were of an age where they were into retirement. And all of their existence in a foreign country in Europe revolves around what happens in the UK. Your health cover depends on a government in the UK carrying on with that. Your pension rights depend on what a UK government says and does. Your taxation arrangements depend on what the UK government says. All of these things affect people's daily lives. All right, it doesn't affect our energy costs. It doesn't affect our rail travel or motorways. No, it doesn't do that. You know, that's completely right. But for the rest of our lives, remembering that most of our lives are dictated by finance, that is all driven and organised and controlled by the UK. Why shouldn't I have a say in an MP who's going to vote to stop, say, for example, the increase in pensions for people who've got a pension? Why should I not have a say in a minister who runs the NHS who decides we're not offering service, we're not offering a cover for people who live outside of the UK? These decisions were made years ago, and they've been in reciprocal arrangements, most of them. So therefore, I maintain I have the right to challenge and discuss and question the people who are making those decisions on my behalf. It's not because I live in Spain. I doubt whether my kids who live here and lived here for years, they will get a pension from Spain. They do their education in Spain. They do their health in Spain. Everything is... They're never going to... They very rarely casted a vote in the UK after Labour, as they said, failed them. Being in education, they saw Labour failing them. And I can go through many, many historical things about that. All my kids and my wife used to be Labour Party members.
Indeed. Right, Alf, those bongos mean we've come to the end of the first half. Thanks very much for your contribution. We're going to go live to London and Rex later after that. Alf, thanks very much for today.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Always live, always lively. Back to the second half of Viewpoint on this Tuesday, the 11th of January, if you want to get involved with today's show.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And in the second hour of the show, we're going to go to London and Rex Leyland in about 7 minutes or so. Catch up with the latest news from there. Looking at some of the major stories today, Prime Minister, up to 100 people are invited to a Bring Your Own Booze Drinks event in Downing Street during the first lockdown. This has emerged. Eyewitnesses told the BBC that Boris Johnson and his wife were among the 30 people who attended the gathering on the 20th of May 2020. The Prime Minister has refused to confirm whether he was present. An email obtained by ITV shows Martin Reynolds, Johnson's principal private secretary, encouraged staff to make the most of the lovely weather. Something tells me that's going to come back and haunt Martin Reynolds. And join us from 6 p.m. with your own booze. At the time, social mixing was banned, except with one other person from another household outdoors in a public place. Scotland Yard said the Metropolitan Police is considering investigating the event. The Environment Agency has told its staff to shut down reports of low-impact pollution events because it doesn't have enough money to investigate them. A leaked internal report seen by The Guardian declared that events such as farm pollution or hazardous dumps by business may not be properly investigated due to a lack of funding. Mark Lloyd, the chief executive of the Rivers Trust, described the strategy as an appalling scandal. An EA spokesperson said, "We focus our incident response effort on those pollution incidents which pose the greatest risks to the environment." Tennis world number one Novak Djokovic has said he wants to stay in Melbourne and compete in the Australian Open after winning his visa court battle yesterday. His fate will now be determined by Immigration Minister Alex Hawke, who has the power to cancel the visa again. The Australian Border Force is also investigating whether Djokovic incorrectly declared that he had not travelled and will not do so for 2 weeks before his flight to Australia. Boris Johnson is pressing his scientific advisers to slash the recommended COVID-19 isolation period to 5 days. The UK Health Secretary Agency yesterday admitted that it misread guidance from the US when it opposed the reduction. But as the PM presses for a shortened guidance, advisers have warned the Health Secretary, Sajid Javid, that a 5-day isolation period could lead to a third more people returning to work while still infectious, says the Times. A man in the US, as you may have just heard, became the first person in the world to get a heart transplant from a genetically modified pig. Doctors in Baltimore said that David Bennett, 57, is doing well 3 days after the experimental 7-hour procedure. A surgeon said the operation would bring the world one step closer to solving the organ shortage crisis, but animal rights campaigners have questioned the morality of the procedure. Rishi Sunak is to meet with MPs in a bid to quell growing Tory unrest over the cost of living crisis. The Guardian said that the delegations of MPs will press the Chancellor to cancel a planned tax rise and ditch VAT on energy bills. An increase in national insurance is set to coincide with rising energy bills this spring. Sunak and Boris Johnson have ruled out a cut to VAT, but a Tory MP told the paper that the move has the most widespread support. North Korea has reportedly fired a ballistic missile less than a week after it launched what it claimed was a hypersonic missile. South Korea and Japan both reported the launch, which came after six countries issued a statement urging the North to cease its destabilizing actions. The BBC said the launch could be intended to divert public attention away from an increasingly severe economic situation in the country, a crisis that has been worsened by the pandemic. Pope Francis has criticised the rise of cancel culture, describing it as a form of ideological colonialism. Speaking to diplomats at the Vatican, he said the cultural roots that constitute the identity of many peoples were being undermined, adding that cancel culture leaves no space for freedom of expression. The Telegraph said that although his speech was in Italian, he used the English phrase cancel culture to refer to a concept that is still in its infancy in Italy. Britain's third largest energy supplier has advised customers to keep their heating bills low by having a cuddle with pets, eating hearty bowls of porridge, and doing a few star jumps. OVO Energy has apologised and said it was embarrassed after the guidance from its company SSE Energy Services. The advice was labelled insulting and offensive by MPs. The news comes as millions of households face a cost of living catastrophe this spring. And finally, Maya Angelou has become the first black woman ever featured on the US Quarter. The poet and activist who died in 2014 at the age of 86 was also the first black woman to write and perform a poem at a presidential inauguration. Coins are planned for other pioneering women, including an astronaut, a tribal chief, and an actor, as part of the American Women Quarters program. And those are some of your main stories today, Tuesday, the 11th of January.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And back to a few points before we go live to London. This in: global warming, go vegan, don't use a car, cycle or walk if you're not disabled, don't fly and buy local fruits and veg. In another world, I'm a presiding officer, and Boris visits my polling station, he takes 10 minutes to put his X on, or his cross on. This in from Liz as well. We're going back to this thing about single-use plastics in terms of ketchups, salad cream, which some say is an offence and should be banned anyway, mayonnaise, etc. Why did bottles of ketchup, etc. vanish? Oh, that's right, because the health fanatics were upset that they'd carry germs. You can't please all the people all the time, etc., etc. Just get on with your life and stop dictating to others what is right and wrong. Life is a balance. Moan over for the moment. Stay safe, take care, and lots of love to both myself and my animal companions, yes, who I'm not snuggling to keep warm at the moment, though it was a little bit chilly this morning. If you want to get involved with today's show,
to contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And we'll be speaking to Rex Lomond in London after this.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. 20 minutes past the hour is the time. And for the first time in 2022, we go live to Rex Leyland or somewhere on the Thames. Rex, are you receiving us loud and clear?
Good morning, Giles. Good morning, Spain. Receiving you 100% loud and clear.
Happy New Year, my friend. Good to have you
and
with
the
us.
Same to you, Giles. I hope you had a wonderful time over the festive period and that all is now settled, ready for a hard slog into the new year.
Well, I was, as you know, Rex, I tend to sort of live in the studio at the best of times. All I need is a hammock and a hot plate, and I was pretty much here of the festive period. And unfortunately for the listeners, here we go again. So, we've, as you may or may not be aware, we've been going through the ins and outs of what's been happening at Downing Street. Let's move away from that for a second, because there are some other big news stories. We may come back to that, if you wish, a little bit later. But the whole saga, and I know you like your sport, and I know you like your international travel, and the whole Novak saga continues.
Yes, it does. It's funny because somebody sent me a little vignette on Mr. Farage, who is one of my was one of my favourite politicians a long time ago during the early days of Brexit, and I sent this round to the group, and some people wholeheartedly agreed with what he was saying about the situation down under, and other people got very upset. My take on it, I have a cousin who lives in Melbourne, so she sends me lots of goodies and updates, and it really looks as if the Australian government have been overreacting and behaving in a rather aggressive way for an elected government in a normal, civilized Western country, using COVID to imprison their own people and treat them rather disrespectfully. It really smacks a bit of Chinese excuses, like in Hong Kong, locking people down, using the virus as a suitable excuse, which I think is unacceptable. I'm never too interested in, as far as the Mr. Tennis celebrity is concerned, I don't have an opinion about him. He's obviously a great sportsman. He's done exceedingly well. What I do feel is that it should be one rule for everybody. And if he chooses not to be vaccinated, we'll come on to that subject in a minute. That is his choice. But there is a price to pay. And the point is, have the Australian authorities exercise due diligence and fairness whilst deliberating over his current situation. I don't know what the news is this morning. Is he in or out?
He's still there. He's still there. But and somebody just
oh, yes, that's right.
Sorry?
Yeah, go on. Sorry, I just remembered I did see it on breakfast. He was practicing. That's
yes,
right.
he's been practicing at the moment. He's been practicing, and he tweeted a picture of himself with his coach Goran Ivanišević, of course the Croatian winner of Wimbledon back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still absolutely. There's still this possibility that. You know, the Australian ministry, the Australian government may still throw him out. I want to just read something that I got sent in the other day, okay? This is something, which is the following. The Novak saga continues, and no matter what your opinion, political stance or vaccination status, I think we can all agree that it is an utter fiasco. Tech Today, the judge sent to me yesterday. Today, the judge drastically overturned the Australian government's decision to revoke his entry visa and ordered for his immediate release. As his family supporters, Serbians everywhere, and the free world, this has been sent to me, celebrates this giant win, I can understand the upset and frustration of Australian citizens who have spent months in lockdown, are separated from friends and family in other states and overseas, and have been pressured into mandatory vaccines. It feels unfair, unjust, biased and preferential. And yes, I'd have to agree. The attacks and smears on Novak's character and game over the past 72 hours originate from these feelings of unfairness and inequality. Is he really being granted special status on account of his position in the public eye? And what does that really say about those imposed mandates and cruel border policies that others are being subjected to? It's making a farce out of everyone. Novak's situation is only shining a light on a system that is fundamentally flawed and ultimately unjust, not only for him, but for Australians, migrants living there, and for all citizens of a quote-unquote free world. Even as I write this, I just had notification that Novak's father has appealed to Queen Elizabeth II to protect his son's human rights. And so the drama shows no sign of abating, and the controversy surrounding it continues to divide us. Of course, Djokovic knew he could have played the Australian Open if he submitted to a vaccination. It's now doubtful whether he will play, but he has said today that he wants to. This would be a blow for his season, career, and title, but he has stood by his principles and his beliefs and continues to fight against a draconian system that he believes to be unjust. Perhaps rather than berating him for standing against this oppression that so many are enduring, we might commend him for standing up against this oppression that so many are enduring.
Yeah.
That was a Stephen Ritson, a Rex. That's sort of...
Yes, I mean, it is. It's fascinating, you know, what this has attracted. Also, the fact that he was seen mixing with people, it's slightly double... Well, it's not slightly, it is sort of double-edged. And the thing is that he's got to live with it and play his game. I mean, a lot of people said that he should have just gracefully left the country and skipped the tournament. Because he's going to get a lot of flack any which way. And I don't think anything he does is going to be correct. Because it's, you know, caused a massive division. I still believe that the Australian method of dealing with COVID has been draconian. And I do feel a lot for the Australian people, and my cousin included, who hasn't got a kind word to say about the government. I mean, the problem was that they did have a low rate of the virus, but of course they were slow in vaccination. So in the end, the virus caught up. So they've sort of gone round in a complete circle at the cost of people's liberty, welfare, well-being, mental state, blah, blah, blah. Whereas, of course, in this country, slightly a bit more gung-ho, and we have to learn to live with it. And we, you know, I take you back to 1918, 1920, you know, after the First World War, and then we had the dreadful pandemic, which, of course, became known as Spanish flu. And we all had to learn to live with it. Okay, millions of people died during that time because they didn't have the vaccines, they didn't have the same medical advancements as we've got today. But in principle, it's the same, and in principle, we have to learn to live with it. And the quicker we all get back to normality, and if you get it, you don't, you don't. But one thing is for sure, Giles, for those idiots out there who do not get vaccinated, they are taking the beds up of people that are more needy through their arrogance, ignorance, and stupidity. When they're lying there on a ventilator, and the only people I know who have died are not vaccinated, I wonder what's going through their mind when they say, "Ooh, I wonder if I should have been vaccinated after all." It's too late, mate.
Got a quick message in here from Larry. Good morning to you, Larry, who calls it Novak's joke COVID. And this in. So, Rex seems to ignore the facts that Djokovic, is a known anti-vaxxer who's not taken the vaccine and thought because he was the world number one in tennis could have a free pass. Also, he says they're not. This is not the opinion of TRE, by the way. But Serbs had a reputation for being utter nutcases. They were singing Serbian ethnic nationalist chants along to a popular Serbian song, still sung applauded on major Serbian talent shows. That calls on Serbs to conquer. Prizren, the flag of Kosovo, Dubrovnik, Croatia, excuse my pronunciation, Cetinje, Montenegro, Bosnia and Herzegovina outside his hotel, and he has lied. And I did see the pictures of him with, he said he had COVID, he tested positive on the 16th, and then on the 17th he was at some event, I believe it was in Dubai.
That's right, yeah. That's what makes the mockery of it, you see.
And also the fact that he said he hasn't travelled for 2 weeks ago. Well, he has been. I mean, I know he's been in this part of the world. He has a house in southern Spain, in Marbella, and a friend of mine had a picture of him at a well-known tennis centre in a well-known hotel in Marbella. So if he's saying he hasn't travelled in the past 2 weeks, they've only got to check his social media, and they'll see that, or anybody's social media who's tagged him, such as the double-edged sword of the 21st century life, Rex, and they'll see
that. And now it remains to be seen, will justice be done? Will justice prevail?
So it's evident. So it's evident that fact is, hi Justice, just coming in. Fact is, hi Giles, good morning to you. The fact that Farage is decrying the Australian government for controlling their borders beggars belief. He was one of the main advocates of nations controlling their borders. As far as managing the pandemic, Australia's to date 2,450 deaths puts to UK to date over 150,000 deaths. If we allow population difference, this would put the Australian deaths at only 7,000. So it's evidence that Australia's draconian measures have reaped positive results.
Well, you must remember that Australia is a very, very big country and there's a lot of space there, whereas the UK, of course, is cramped and crowded.
Cramped and crowded. By the way, just coming in the last hour, that the calculations that more than 50% of the population of Europe will contract Omicron within the next 6 to 8 weeks. That's just breaking on El País as I speak to you now, Rex. So you know,
many of my friends, about 80% of them have all had Omicron. They've all had the new virus. You may recall that my wife and I had it very badly at the very beginning, a year ago, March. And we've been tested antibodies. We've had our 3 jabs and blah, blah, blah. And the flu jab and the pneumonia jab had years ago. I mean, it is a lottery, Giles. And I think we've got to be prepared to play this lottery. And everybody that has, all my lot who have had it, they all have been immunized and had it in a very light way. Nothing too serious. A couple of days of feeling pretty shitty and then, you know, within 5 days, up and about.
Interestingly enough.
Back to normal.
Interestingly enough.
And I think, really, that's what we're going to do. We're going to sort of accept that, you know.
Mm. Interestingly enough, I had, after a long and, what's it, interesting Kafka-esque situation with some various authorities, I went in for my jab the other week, 2 weeks ago, and I was sitting in afterwards in that recovery period just to see if there's any effects. And as I was sitting there, Spider-Man walked past, and I thought, that's a hallucination and a half. But what it was is, in fact, because they're getting younger people in, and so we had Spider-Man and a couple of Captain America and a couple of the Three Kings passing by, but it did make me double take for a minute. This in, by the way, your thoughts on this one. In December, the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation have added pregnant women to the priority list for the vaccine, saying they're at a heightened risk for COVID. About 1 in 5 pregnant women admitted to hospital with the virus needed to be delivered preterm to help them recover, and 1 in 5 of the babies needed care in the neonatal unit. Mothers-to-be have been offered the Pfizer, BioNTech or Moderna job. Around 84,000 pregnant women have received one dose. Since the beginning of the UK vaccine problem, the advice was for pregnant women to be offered vaccines if they are at high risk. Professor Lucy Chappell told BBC's Radio Today, for Today programme, that a third of unvaccinated pregnant women with COVID-19 needed help with breathing, and 1 in 6 were admitted to intensive care. Professor Chappell said the vaccine causes pregnant women to produce antibodies against the virus, which crosses over to their babies and gives them protection too. Dr. Jen Jardine from the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, who was 7 months pregnant and has had her booster jab, said, both as a doctor and a pregnant mother myself, we can now be very confident that the COVID-19 vaccinations provide the best possible protection for you and your unborn child against the virus. I would strongly call on all pregnant women like me, if you hadn't had your vaccine yet, either speak to your GP or midwife if you still have questions, and then book right away. So that was because I know that several people were a bit worried about having vaccinations if they if they were pregnant, Rex.
Yes, I believe so. I'm very glad there's clarity on that because it is so, so important. And obviously, pregnancy is a challenge for any lady, and they just need all the help they can get. And because, again, as we go back, as I said earlier, we have to learn to live with what is there. We have to always cast our mind back to the Spanish flu. It became known as the Spanish flu because it just ended up like a normal flu. And even before COVID, we were all being having our flu jabs, actually, against Spanish flu so many years later. So I just can't understand why the anti-vaxxers are so adamant in their belief that this potion is going to knock them for six or do something drastic other than help them in the crisis of catching the virus. I just don't understand how their mentality works on this. I mean, you should be grateful for any helping hand at any time when it's to do with something to do with your body, your survival, your medical situation. You've got to help yourself, and if it's out there, take it.
Good morning to Ian in Camberley, who said he thinks that we're getting the Novak Djokovic jokes already in the memes. She says there's more coming out on this matter, I'm sure, over the next couple of days. Take a quick break, Rex, and then back with more viewpoints.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. If you want to get involved with today's Viewpoint.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official. Or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And this one in. We are not anti-vaxxers, just choosing not to have this one. Yes, my body, my choice. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Joined by Rex Leyland, just in London, just on the Thames, indeed. Your thoughts, Rex, you know, as we... We have been doing so much on Boris Johnson this morning that we'll move on from that one to give everybody a break from it. But just your thoughts on what's happening in London at the moment. Obviously, the cost of living crisis seems to be making an effect on people. People not being able to, or being worried about paying their bills. And a bit of a slap in the face this morning. You know, this blog from Over that went out this morning, saying that, in order to keep warm, we should do star jumps and snuggle up to your pets. We'll come to that in a minute. We've got a call in. Morning, call. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, girls. Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Yeah, morning. Before you jump the subject, I didn't think you were on today. I listened to the party political broadcast on behalf of the Labour Party in the first hour.
Other parties are available.
Other parties are available, especially down the street. Rex. Yes, Rex. Thinks that everybody should. Yes, Rex, you believe that everybody should be treated equally, and that Djokovic is no different than anybody else. Yeah,
he's no different, other than the fact that he's a very good tennis player.
Exactly right. So this was in court. It's nothing to do with his tennis. It's nothing to do with sport. I've said on this program before that I don't think the two should mix, and you should keep politics out of sport. But this is nothing to do with either of those. The reason he won his case, because his lawyers argued that there was a range of legal errors. Seven, I think there were seven, he said, invalid exercises of power. And he won on that because under common law, there's a principle of procedures and fairness of legal and reasonableness. Right, so it doesn't matter whether you're fighting your tax claims, whether you're fighting the council for changing the zoning of an area in Australia, anything like that. There are protections to ensure that individuals are treated properly when they're undergoing assessment by these people, these public officials. And he wasn't treated properly. He arrived after a 25-hour flight. He arrived in the early hours of the morning. He was immediately pounced upon and told he had to turn around. He asked if he could speak to the WTA, he could speak to his lawyers, he could speak to his team, and he was denied that process. He was held in a holding cell. Then they came to him later and they gave him an ultimatum that you just get out, turn around. And he said, well, I don't want to because I need to sort this out. Now, bearing in mind who he is, his wealth, his position, he has a team of people to do that for him. And he's quite entitled to wait till they all wake up and they're all ready and available to then fight his case, which is exactly what happened. And that's why he won it. Nothing to do with tennis, nothing to do with sport, nothing to do with politics. There's the fact that he was treated wrong when entering Australia. Now, that would happen to any individual. All would be treated exactly the same, or should be. And many people would argue that any foreigners coming in that are seeking to be repatriated into Australia would expect that same treatment. They would expect that they can argue their case. You just can't turn around and say, well, you're Mexican, you must be lying, go back. So that's the reason Djokovic won. Nothing to do with tennis, nothing to do with sport, nothing to do with politics. It was done in court, and it was ruled that he won the case on a league, not on a technicality. Legally, he was right.
So what's happening next then? What's the next stage?
Well, if the Australian government are brave enough and they want to really put petrol on the fire, they'll kick him out anyway. And then really start. But also, your view on the anti-vaxxers, I really didn't want to get into this, but Novak Djokovic is like me, only more. He eats a plant-based diet, which I technically don't agree on, but what he's doing, I do agree a lot on. A lot. I wouldn't eliminate any food group from my diet. He has a team of individuals that he believes he's hired. He believes that they are the right people, and he's the best tennis player in the world for a reason, because of what he puts in his body, how he fuels his body, how he recovers from the match, how he recovers from training. Him and Cristiano Ronaldo are the elites of the elites at that. Now, why should he be forced to put something in his body that he has not been given to give to
his
team?
Yeah, but he's not being forced. He still has the choice. And if rules are rules, wherever you go, if the rule says you've got to be vaxxed, you've got to be vaxxed. If you don't have to be vaxxed, you don't have to be vaxxed. You don't go there, whatever it is.
Rex, you're going away from exactly what I said. This has nothing to do with him being vaxxed. I'm now saying that regardless of to his status of going into Australia, here's a man like Cristiano Ronaldo, like me, like many other people, are very, very careful on what they do with their bodies, what they put
I'm
in their bodies, how they recover. Well,
not on the
scale of this man. Now, what I'm saying is that all the information from all the major drug companies,
on the scale of this man, we all have a regime that we adhere to at home or wherever. Whatever you put in your body, whatever you eat, whatever you decide to ingest, that is your decision, and it's your program.
Of course it's,
you can't
of
say
course
that
it's,
one man is better than the other. That's ridiculous.
Yes, I can. Rex, listen, for one moment.
Just because he's a revered sportsman
doesn't mean his diet is
better than yours.
Well, I mean,
do you pay people to scrutinise every ingredient that goes into your body, or do you just make a free will choice?
Well, who I pay is my business, not yours.
Right. Okay.
Oh, so you're sounding like Boris Johnson now. My point is,
I studied dietetics at college, and I know about what is good and what is bad. And the point is, whether I employ somebody to tell me what to put in my body is one thing. And if I choose a regime that I think is appropriate for my body, which actually I do have a regime in place, then that's it. But you can't.
revere somebody, just say, oh, he's paying millions of people to look up to say what he's going to put inside his body. What you put inside your body is your business, whether you pay anybody or not.
You're missing the point. I'm not saying it's not my choice to put what in my body. What I do is I do due diligence to what I put in my body, same as he does, and he's advised what to do. Now, if you let me finish, Moderna vaccine is not allowed in certain countries for men under certain ages because it's considered to be risky. Now, the virus doesn't know how old you are. You have a biological and a chronological age. Djokovic falls into that age group where it is risky. And what he's saying is, give me the paperwork and I'll have a look at it and I'll let my team look at it and I'll make the decision. But because they're spending 75 years getting that paperwork out, which, by the way, the Supreme Court in America has just ruled they got 8 months to get that paperwork out, because so far they've released 400 pages of 400,000 pages, then I will make the decision of whether I have that injection or not, same as him, when I've read that paperwork. You obviously are free to put into your body whatever you want. But do you know every ingredient that goes into that food? Are you prepared to go that extra mile? He earns his money from his body, and he is entitled to put into his body what he wants to. And your argument is he's not being forced to be that. The very fact that he cannot defend a 10th title or a record-breaking title unless he bows down to unsporting reasons is being forced to take that injection, because he has to make the decision of whether he wants to become the greatest tennis player on earth ever, or he has to do something that he's really reluctant to do.
Thank you.
On that note, Giles, yep. I think I better leave you.
Peter, thank you very much for your call in there. Viewpoint points well made. Because people are saying, okay, what's up next for Djokovic? He was granted a medical exemption on permission. However, Australian Border Force officials said he failed to provide evidence to meet the entry requirements and his visa was cancelled. Judge Anthony Kelly of the Federal Circuit Court quashed the visa cancellation and ordered the Australian government to pay legal costs and release the player from detention within half an hour. The player's lawyer said a COVID-19 infection last month meant he was legally allowed to enter the country, according to a transcript of the interview revealed in court. He had told border officials he was unvaccinated and had been infected with COVID twice. Judge Kelly stated the decision to cancel the visa was unreasonable. After winning his appeal, the 20-time Grand Slam champion returned to the practice court and issued a statement on social media saying he wanted to stay in Melbourne, where he's aiming to win the Australian Open for a 10th time. He said, I'm pleased and grateful. Djokovic may want to focus on the tennis, but he may still be deported from Australia. I'll be with you in a second, Rex. Immigration Minister Alex Hawke was still considering revoking Djokovic's visa and could overrule the decision. The MP is allowed to act using broad discretionary powers granted him by Australia's Migration Act. The minister is currently considering the matter and the process remains ongoing. Djokovic could be banned from re-entering Australia for 3 years, but a three-year ban would be waived even if Mr. Hawke does cancel the player's visa. And former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd used Twitter to lambast current PM, Scott Morrison. Rudd tweeted, Morrison just lost his case against Djokovic. Total incompetence, like on everything else. And his family held a press conference in Belgrade. Gianna Djokovic, his mother, said the decision to overturn his visa cancellation was the biggest victory of her son's career. She also claimed he had been subject to torture and harassment. Jordi Djokovic said his brother was in Australia to set another record. He added, Novak has always advocated freedom of choice, nothing more. So that's where we stand at the moment. Rex, just want to come on. I've got another caller on the line who I want to bring on. Morning, caller, you're live on Terry. Yep. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, it's Kenny Giles.
Morning, Kenny.
Good morning. Just to go back on what Peter was saying, to a certain extent, under normal circumstances, that is correct. But Djokovic allegedly has had COVID twice. He still hasn't vaccinated. He might be immune to it all, but I can say this, that he could be spreading it everywhere. How many of those kids in Serbia that he was with in that photograph have tested positive since? He can spread it It might not affect him, but it will affect people with severely restricted immune systems. And that is where he is totally 100% wrong. And if he wants to continue playing tennis, i.e. Paris, Wimbledon, he will have to get himself vaccinated or he does not play. Simple as that.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Kenny. Good Thank to have you. You with us. Okay, Rex.
I wholeheartedly agree with that, which, of course, the other gentleman had forgotten to mention. It's a very good point that, of course, a lot of us carry, but we don't manifest any symptoms, but we can pass it on. And that's an exceptionally good point that that maybe he was spreading it without realizing it.
Yeah,
we wait
to see on that. We've got another call coming in, Rex, as always. It's always the last 5. It's always the last 10 minutes of Viewpoint that the phones wake up. Morning, caller, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's John Dodd.
Morning, John, and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. The thing is,
Yeah, John, can you turn the radio down at the back? Because I can hear myself coming back on myself, and it's not, if I hear myself at the best of times, it's not very pretty anyway.
Okay, right. The thing is, I must bring up the thing about the Court of Human Rights. You cannot force anybody to get an injection, especially an experimental injection.
Right.
We know that.
It doesn't matter what kind of... You cannot give a disease to anybody, even if you are injected. You can't give it... It's a virus.
Sorry, John, say that again. Did you just say you can't pass a virus on?
You can't pass a virus on of this nature.
John, I mean, to be losing you here, John.
He said that he was around a lot of kids and he's given... How many of them people have tasted positive, you know?
Well, that's what we're waiting to see, John, isn't it? At the moment, that's exactly what Rex just asked.
Yeah.
Okay. John. You seem to be repeating. If you're pardon the expression, you seem to be coming back on ourselves. So, thank you for your call in, John. As always, good to have you with us. Sorry, Rick.
No, I just agree. I mean, the point is that rules is rules. If it becomes, if you go to a country, you have to abide by the rules. We've all got different rules. There is nothing at the moment universal about COVID. Every country is different.
Mm.
And if you wish to visit that country, you've got to toe their line.
Just had a WhatsApp in here by somebody. WhatsApp saying, if a country says no alcohol, if a country says no alcohol, should I be allowed alcohol? Because if I still want to drink. And also, rules are rules. You abide by them, and the choice is to go or not.
Exactly. And that is it. And what's going to happen, inevitably, is that we... will all be judged by our vaccinations, which is, you know, the interpretation of respective governments to say the easiest thing is to only admit people who are vaccinated or allow them into the pub or the bar or the football match or the restaurant, whatever it is. It will probably come to that, or hopefully not. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But you've got to abide by the rules, and it's one rule for everybody. It cannot be selective. If you're not vaccinated, you have to take the consequences of not being allowed to do certain things that require that certification.
We've got another one in here from Paul. Your caller says Djokovic can pass it on, but B really can carry it and pass it on when vaxxed. We've got lots of stuff coming in here at the moment. Go Novak.
Can I just add something?
Yeah, go for it, Rex.
I've seen quite a few... for various reasons, I've chatted with various, shall we just say, eminent physicians for various reasons, without going into too many personal details, and myself and my wife. But, I mean, what's come out of this whole crisis is the same repetitive answer from the higher medics, and that is, if you come back and talk to me in 5 years, I'll be able to tell you everything about COVID. At the moment, we just don't know and we don't understand, and you have to give us more time. And that's what it's about. It's about appreciation, learning to live with it, learning how to deal with it. and there is no panacea, there is no rabbit's foot, there is no magic potion that we can, you know, wipe the board or go right across everything and say, this is what's going to happen and this is what is happening or this is what's going to happen. We honestly don't know, and the medics don't know. They want more time.
There are known unknowns, the saying goes. More callers coming in, as always, in the last 10 minutes. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, good morning. It's Marlene Calpin.
Good morning, Marlene.
Yes, you know, I'm in rather a funny position, as you well know. I can't take the vaccine. I have a doctor's note, and the last time I told the doctor, as he was going out the door, he said, do not take that vaccine, because he knows how bad I am.
Right.
But yet, I feel as if I'm in the middle of a field with all with people all running around in madness, because what do... I agree with the vaccine. My husband has it. We agree with it. But I'm in a position where they say, if you don't have the vaccine, I can't go to a restaurant, I can't go to a bar. I mean, what's happening? I mean, I really feel like I'm stuck.
Yeah, I
what
mean...
What do people like I do?
But if you've got medical exemption and it's properly certificated, then you should be in the clear.
I hope so.
Thank you.
I hope so. But I've never heard any particular lawful thing to say that I can.
Well,
I don't think people are aware of it yet, are they?
Well, how do you mean, Marlene?
I think it's going to be a new thing.
Right. OK, well, thank you for your call in. Good to hear from you as well, Marlene, and good to
Yeah, OK, nice to listen to you all.
You too. Thanks very much. Listening in from Ray, the law says he cannot enter unless he's within the law. The real question is, did he ever have COVID? Or is that a false claim to avoid the law? He was seen in public after being supposedly diagnosed with COVID, which we've alluded to. So, did he break the law in his home country or in Australia?
Giles, I'm just going to finish on a lighter note.
Please do, with 4 minutes to go.
Changing the subject. You mentioned earlier about this thing about hug a pet.
Yes.
Warm, cost of living, heating going up. By the way, a quick one on that. I watched this interview from a gentleman who was head of the energy whatever and was asked by government to advise, and he advised them what to do, which was to build storage tanks so we could store everything from the North Sea and beyond. And what did the government do? They turned the other way and didn't bother to do anything, and that's why we're in the crisis we're in. But that's another story. Going back to the lighter note, when you say hug a pet, there are two breeds out there. There are quite a few breeds out there, and one is a dog and cat, and they're hairless. One is called the Chinese Crested.
The Chinese dog. Crested what? Dog, cat, goldfish?
Dog, right? Okay. Dog, yeah. And it's got no hair. And the reason why it was bred in China because many years ago, of course, they didn't have any trees, they didn't have anything to burn, they couldn't keep warm.
They didn't have any trees in China? Rex?
Well, I'm being facetious.
Right.
Listen. So basically, they bred this dog that's got no hair, and the dog's temperature is 10 degrees above your temperature.
Oh.
And that's why you talk about a lap dog.
Ah.
You put the dog on your lap, it keeps you warm. They were bred in China, and therefore you are 10 degrees warmer than you would be because the dog or the cat, Egyptian, I think is the other hairless cat.
Yes.
They are 10 degrees warmer. So that's what you call a lap dog, and that's what you should be doing, is hugging a Chinese Crested, and
Rex,
you'll be very warm indeed.
Rex, my dear friend, can I just say that the story of the no-haired dog is probably the worst shaggy dog story that I've heard so far this year?
I'm not going to rise to that one.
Rex Leyland, as always, we're going to run out of time, but thank you so much. Be good, stay safe. Thanks for contributing to today's show, Rex. Take care.
It's a pleasure, Giles. Thank you, as always, and a very healthy, peaceful new year to everybody.
Thanks very much, Rex Leyland in London. Going live to the lines as well. Good morning, Cooley, alive on TRE. What's your name? Where you're calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Hello, caller. No, and as I'm saying, as I always just... Are we there? Good morning, caller. It wouldn't be Viewpoint, would it? It wouldn't be Viewpoint without the first one of those of the year. And for those of you doing your Viewpoint bingo, which I know you like to do, and there he was gone.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Nobody wants a bald cat or dog. Oh, well, if you've got an allergy, I suppose. It could be a thing. And it gets fishier. Djokovic's presented positive COVID test from December 16 comes with a QR code on it. When you scan that QR code, you can try it yourself, it takes you to a website showing the test was negative, not positive. Morning, Cooley, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Charles, Peter again.
Yes, Peter.
A quick one, seeing as we're in the last furlong.
Last furlough?
Furlong. Fur, dogs, never mind.
Very good, very good. Sorry, you're sharper than me this morning. Sorry,
I got up early. Just a final thought for a few people here. For those who think that Djokovic should just never have bothered to go there, whether you defend him or don't defend him, whether you think people are right or wrong, and many, many people I think shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that, just remember, if Rosa Parks should not have got on that bus, Muhammad Ali should have gone to Vietnam. We can go on with many other people, because we will not be judged today. We will not be judged by our peers. We'll be judged by history. And history will tell us that this has all been wrong. And for Rex to say that he knows nothing and wouldn't have nothing for 5 years, yet continue to accept the vaccination without even knowing anything on an experimental drug, as the caller pointed out, that is still an experimental drug, and when there's no emergency, they can't distribute that. And that's why we're living under a constant emergency. So just think, many, many people do things because they want to rile the establishment and they want to turn things around. And maybe Djokovic is that driven.
And the bongos. Peter, you got your point in there. Thanks very much. And the bongos. Somebody came back on that. It's not an issue of racism, Peter. Right then, almost out of time. It's been my pleasure and my privilege. My thanks to Alf Brewer and also to Rex Leyland in the UK. I'll be back tomorrow with Let's Talk. Stephen Ritson is up next. First Viewpoint of 2020.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.